Sharp French, what up? This one luck, I let the pain inspire me. I put my all in everything I'm doing. Up until it's done, I'm me for the entirety. I put in overtime, I be working. Just know I'ma go for mine, cause I earned it. They watching, I know it's time, I confirmed it. A whole society determined.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I am Sean, and I am your host. And today, I have a definition of a self-made entrepreneur. He forged his success by going all in, not just only in business, but in his life as well. He built a public company without any external financial help. And a lot of times, guys, when we're building companies, you hear people getting investments. This man did it himself. Again, the true definition of a self-made entrepreneur. He is the host of All In Podcast with Rick Jordan. He's a badass keynote speaker, an influential presence as a social media personality. And listen to this. He's a connoisseur of fine scotch. Rick, what's up, buddy? Welcome to the show.
What's shaking, Sean? It's good to be here, man.
Dude, hey, I'm better than you, man. It's a snowstorm there, and it's like, it's hot here, but it's windy. We're okay.
Yeah, I think I'll come down by you in a couple weeks. I'm trying to plan a trip with my kids.
Come on.
Florida a lot, yeah.
Yes, it's a time of year to do it. There's no hurricanes rolling through. You're good. You're fine.
Right on. Yep.
Yeah. So, dude, thanks for spending some time with me on a Friday afternoon. I know you literally had to drive through a snowstorm to get to your studio and do this with me. So I'm grateful, man. It's going
to
be a good time.
Dude, I'm grateful to be here. Yeah.
It's going to be a great time.
Let's kick some ass today.
Yeah, let's do it. I always love
conversation.
Yes, good conversations. So, dude, I love your motto, man, all in. I think a lot of times in life, people like to tip their toes in the water and see if it's cold, right? And if it's cold, yeah, they're like, oh, shit, man, I ain't doing that. But, you know, talk to the audience. You know, I gave you a brief little intro. Tell them about your story and kind of how you went all in on yourself.
Yeah, for sure. One of the questions I'll always get asked is, what does all in actually mean? You know, you were talking about the tiptoes getting in the water. It's a, I'm not a big fan of hustle culture. And that's something that I've seen over the past couple decades. You know, it didn't just start to exist on Instagram here just in the past couple of years. It's always been around. If you look back to like the corporate people and those who have built these large things, it's like they go until they drop. And while sometimes I feel that way, you know, it's like you can tend to, if you get into the toxic side of hustle culture, you can tend to start to feel like a failure and get depressed all the time because you start to feel, man, I'm not doing enough. You know, so when I define all in, it's giving everything that you have on that day. It's doing everything you can today. So there's some days, dude, I mean, I wake up, I feel great. I work out, you know, and it's like 100%. I got 100% to give today, which means if I give all of that I have, that's awesome. I win the day. But there's some days people wake up like me, right? And it's like, man, you know, maybe I drank one too many glasses of scotch last night, or yesterday was a super taxing day because like right now I just went public, right? I'm going through the first SEC audits. There's some taxing days, bro.
Well, right, congrats now on that, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And I wake up and it's like, man, I feel like there's only 40% in the tank today. But when I begin my day, if I give every bit of that 40% that I have, that's still going all in for that day.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, man. And again, like when I first started my journey in podcasting and entrepreneurship and then with my payroll company that I own, you know, you see everything on social media. And I think a lot of people fall victim to it, man, because like you said, it's been around for years. It's been around for years, but it's more prevalent now because of the access, because of social media. And so you see these big, you know, these big entrepreneurs doing it. And so everybody thinks like, well, that's what it looks like. Right? Because they don't have the point of reference. They work in the 9-to-5 job. They don't have that point of reference, right? To sit there and say, okay, it doesn't need to be like this. And quite honestly, if we just only have 40% of the tank, but we give 100% of it, that's going all in. Your 100% is not going to look the same every single day. Let me ask you a question. Have you always been that way? Or was it like an evolution of just, you know, emotional maturity?
You know, it's, I guess I had some good examples around me. You know, one I always lean on is my dad, and he passed when I was 16, but I got to see him showing up. You know, if this is a model of anything for me, you know, I was always involved in sports when I was young, you know, played baseball for 9 years, was on a traveling team, made All-Stars, got MVP, you know, played soccer for years. It was every single game that I played or every, you know, band concert that I was in. I was in band in junior high too, which is kind of weird. now that I think back on it, at every single one, my dad would show up, you know, and that's because he wanted it to be that way. That's what his version of success of a foundation of a family was to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's an amazing model to look back at. Now, today, do I do that? Do I show up to every single thing for my kids? I don't. But at the same time, I start to pick and choose, and I still feel like I've built that foundational family presence for them as a father, just like my dad did, because I'm out doing some things that my dad didn't. You know, so while my dad was there 100% of how he could be, he was all in for me. I also know that I'm all in for my kids because I involve them in what I'm doing. You know, my oldest son has had conversations with billionaires, you know, when I've been at events, you know, even edits my show. No joke, right? He's 16 now and he uses Adobe Premiere. He's been editing my show for 2 years.
That's so awesome.
Top 2% show and he's editing it.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
I've had my daughter come with me to certain things, you know, my youngest son come with. I mean, my youngest son and my oldest son came with me to Funnel Hacking Live this past year. You know, so while I was literally going through the documents for my latest acquisition, I wasn't in the conference. I was down there. I said hello to some friends like Dan Fleischman and just hanging out. They were in like hearing Jocko talk on stage.
That's
coming
insane.
Out with all these amazing ideas. So it's like me. When I had that model of my dad being all in, it's like I couldn't be there and sit with them during that ClickFunnels event. However, I was able to involve them in my ecosystem, in what I'm doing every single day.
Yeah.
And for me, that's being all in for them in my way.
I love that, you know, because that's leading by example, right? Because because kids, lessons are caught, man. They're not taught. I mean, they're sitting there. I think that was Bedros. When I interviewed Bedros in person in a studio, which was an awesome experience, I believe it was him that said that. And I really thought about it. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's so true. Because we always look to our mentors to see what they're actually doing and matching it up with what they're saying. And so you bring your children along and them being able to have the opportunity to listen to these minds and these ideas of these people, it just is truly amazing, right? Yeah. And guess what? And guess what it does for the audience listening? It shows his kids what is possible. You know, absolutely. They're not going to think small.
Yeah, right on. My older two have been in TV studios with me.
That's nuts. That's really cool, man.
National media. It's like, come on with, see what it's like.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, you also said something too. You back up to like, you know, your show being, you know, top 2%, like, you know, it's funny because I get it all the time, you know, hey, who edits your show? You know, you're top 2% podcast. I'm like, my friend Brad up in Allegheny, New York, bro.
Yep. Right
well, on. How do you do your reels? I'm like, I don't know. I just throw it together and it's not rocket science. You know, do I want more production? Absolutely. Post-production? Absolutely.
But
there's time for that. But I mean, the bottom line is we all figured out and it's so funny because it kind of matches. You know, you being self-made and me doing the things myself too, and building everything on my own. I want to know what it's like because when I'm way, way up here, I don't ever want to take the editor for granted. I don't want to take the scheduler for granted. I don't want to take anybody for granted. I want to know what they deal with on a daily basis because I'm going to tell you right now, like me doing everything, I am exhausted. But again, you're going all in. And the one thing that I had to learn early on was not get caught up in the toxic, you know, just hustle culture. I was working myself. Dude, there was a point where I had to take time off. I took 4 months off. I didn't record a show. I didn't want to. I said, you know what? Screw this. If I don't record another one, I don't care.
Yeah, I feel you. We've done some stuff like that too, to where it's like, well, it's not like we're just podcasters all day long, or it's not like we're social media influencers all day long. And this is something I've noticed with some of the other greats. I was with Dane Cook, David Meltzer, Dan again this past weekend, Austin Eckler, you know, from the Chargers.
Yeah. Did you go to Vegas?
Yeah, I was in Vegas.
Yeah, I almost went to that.
Yeah. Dave's a good friend of mine. But while we were there, you know, it's like I'm looking around and it's like, that's awesome because I'm always invited to be a part of these things, you know, and be one of the influencers in the space to help some of the others and literally like sit at a table and just like coach them, you know, on the spot. One thing I've noticed is that you and I, right, we have this thing, this very real thing that's, if you want to call it on the side, but it's almost like a mountain that we've built, you know, of actual, if you want to call it the real business, if you want to look at it that way, You know, for me, it's cybersecurity, right? Mm-hmm. For you, it's a payroll company. But then we want to share what we have with everybody we possibly can. Mm-hmm. It's the same way that I show up for my kids is the same way that you and I want to show up for as many people as possible.
True.
And that hustle culture, right? That's, as we're talking about the toxicity of it, it's the worshiping of the grind, mm-hmm. right? And putting that out front. It's like, listen, grinding sucks. There should be some times to where you absolutely can have the right processes, people in place so that things are running like a smooth machine. It doesn't mean that you're not, you know, kicking ass, you know, you're not balls to the wall on sometimes that you're trying to make those breakthroughs. I mean, dude, leading up to my public offering to listing on OTC a couple months ago, that was a lot of hours, dude.
Like yeah,
in the
bet.
Final 3 weeks, a lot of meetings with lawyers and just trying to negotiate this stuff. You know, there's probably like six times the deal fell through and then we put it back together. Yeah, so it's you look back and it's grateful, but it's like, oh my God, it's like I learned a lot. It sucked to go through it. Mm-hmm. It sucked to grind for like 6 weeks straight.
But there's seasons of it, right, though, Rick? Yeah, like, there's seasons of the grind. And I think that's okay. I think where people get stuck.
Don't worship it, though.
Yeah, hell no. And dude, I've done it. I've been there. I have, you know, like, do I wake up at 4 a.m. on the weekdays to go work out? Yeah. Because if I don't, I freaking won't. It's not because I want to, you know, show myself getting into an ice bath and think that's fucking like influencing people like that. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not that guy. Right. I'm just going to go. I'm going to get my stuff done because I know if I don't, you know, once the kids get out of school, you know, it's game over. I'm exhausted. Dude, by the time dinner's done, I have a young family. You know, I have a 10 and I have a 7 and a 5. And my 7 and 5 are girls. So dinner time is not chill. Like by the time dinner's done, man, I'm exhausted. I'm not going to the gym. Right? But I think there's an important lesson. So I want to pause. And I want the audience to turn their attention to what they're thinking about right now. Because we'll be talking about the hustle culture. Just, you know, pay close attention, guys, to what you're feeling, you know, what your thoughts are, and write them down, you know, and then ask yourself why you feel that way. Why do you feel, if you do feel that you have to hustle until, you know, you're to a bloody pulp and you don't have anything left for anybody else? Because the reality is, if you're hustling that hard, you are not taking care of yourself. I don't care what you say. So I love that we're having this conversation, man. I started doing some digging on you and I really enjoyed, that's what I enjoyed. I was like, oh dude, like this guy, you know, this guy and I are going to hit it off just fine because, you know, that is the toxicity in the hustle culture, man. It's just, it's judgmental too.
Yeah, it very much is. Yeah. And it becomes a competition and who the hell are you trying to compete with?
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at others that are out there, it's like, oh, you know what? I'm so much better than that person because I'm grinding harder. I'm hustling more, you know, and I want to unpack that for a second, if we can, you know, because that's not like the root cause of this stuff. It's like those types of individuals where they're worshiping that and rightfully so, as you said it, it's like you did for a period of time. Mm-hmm. I did for a period of time because it's almost like a phase that you have to go through. As we're talking, there's actually like canvases around the entire office here that have certain things on them. You know, that like motivational phrases that I've come up with, or we took it from somewhere. And I'm thinking right now, I'm like, I think there's one right outside the studio that says hustle all day, every day. And I think I'm going to go rip that thing to shreds when we're done here, because that was like leftover from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so as we're talking about, so it's like, we've been in that rut, if you want to call that, to where we worshiped the grind, you know, and I know the root for me, which might be the root for a lot of people, is the needs for significance. And that's what kind of fuels that. And you can wrongfully worship that and think that that need for significance requires you to pretty much kill yourself for everything else that you're trying to get to.
So good. So good. You know, and here's the other thing too. You know, a lot of people that are in this hustle culture, they think that they have to do it. They literally think they have to do it because they're leading. Guess where they're leading from? They're leading out of fear.
Yeah.
Like they are wanting to hustle so hard because they're scared someone's going to beat them.
Yeah. That's the competition. You got
like,
it.
Yeah. Listen, like guys, yeah. I don't know any other way to say it, Rick. It's the only person you should be trying to get. And it's cliche. I get it. but it's a cliche for a reason. The only person you should try to be beating is the dude you were yesterday. That's it, right? If you can get better every single day, learn something about yourself and about your business, then how is that a loss?
Yeah, bingo.
You know, it's hard though. Like, and I get it because I see it all the time. You know, it's waking up at 2:45. You know, I've gotten 5 workouts in today. I'm like, how miserable are you?
Like, yeah, I mean, joke. And here's me. It's like, you know, it's not, it might be a little more than often. I mean, than it should, but there, here's me. It's like, hey, I'm eating a donut today while you're working out.
Yeah.
You know,
dude, it's crazy. I still
work
it's
out
crazy,
4 or 5 times a week. Right. But it's like today, it's like, that's your 5th workout already. What the hell are you doing? You
know? Dude, it's nuts. And there's some people that do it.
Yeah.
There's literally people that are that obsessed with it that think that. And there's another culture here that, and then we can talk about this. It's kind of in a tangent, but I like bringing things up as they come to my mind, is there's a lot of people that feel that if you're not peeled up, then you are not disciplined and you are not successful and you can't, and you are a terrible, terrible influence on your children if you are not peeled up. And for those of you listening, peeled up means diced up, cut. I just don't think that's reality, man.
It can't be. I mean, I'm not exactly one for the dad bod at the same time.
No, me neither, man.
But there's a middle ground, and I'm comfortable at that where I am.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can do this, right? And I've got pretty great guns.
Yeah.
I work on these. I don't have a six-pack. You know, I've got some great definition around my abs, but I don't have really any desire because I've got a lot of time that I put in. As long as I feel good about it, you know, and I know what that looks like now for me. If I go 2 weeks without working out, I actually start to mentally suffer, not physically.
Oh, God, don't even give me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's more mental than it is physical. The physical is almost like a byproduct of how you're thinking about yourself. Yeah. So it's the consistency that you're able to put in, the discipline that you're able to put in. And for me, that with fitness, with staying, I shouldn't even call it fitness. I should just call it being healthy, you know, or striving for health.
Yeah. And
I like that. That just came out. I've never called it that before. You ever say something like that was some really good shit? I'm going to.
Yeah. Well, it's recorded, so you'll never forget it.
That's good. I'm actually like even talking to myself on this. No,
same.
Joke. I'm striving for health. Mm. And health for me is consistency and discipline. And that will create what I want for me. It'll create the way that I want to look. It'll create the way that I want to feel. It'll create the way that I portray myself to everybody else around me.
Yeah, it's a byproduct, right? How you look in the mirror or in a bathing suit or whatever, you know, how you look naked is literally a byproduct of all these other things. And we're talking about striving for health, right? People think looking great's the important part, which I agree. Like, you want to look good in your clothes. You want, it, you know, gives you some confidence and, you know, and all that kind of stuff when you're walking around, you feel great, you feel strong, feel tall. But like a couple years ago, I had a scare where my liver enzymes were really high. And I went through like these ultrasounds, CAT scans, CAT, you know, MRI with contrast, CAT scan with contrast, like transjugular liver biopsy. And I was scared because they were searching to see if I had liver cancer or if something was going on in that upper right quadrant of my abdomen. And right then and there, you're not thinking about how you look. You're thinking about, am I going to live for my kids?
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you something. Those moments right there come up for me every single year as I go in to get my regular checkup. You know, I had mine, I had my ultrasound yesterday. Perfect. Liver looks great. Gallbladder's great. Everything's great.
Good.
But those moments when I'm sitting there and, you know, the nice young ladies, you know, doing the ultrasound on me, I'm thinking, man, what if? And you get that pit and get that lump in your throat and you know, you got 3 beautiful children, or I do, right? And you have your children too. And it's like, wait a second. The most important thing is my health.
Yeah.
Health is wealth. And so those of you that are listening, they're just worried about what you look like. This is, it's so much more than that. And we would all be in much better shape physically if we led with that. I'm doing this because I love myself. Not that I hate myself. Because a lot of fitness is that right now, right? Shaming yourself. I hate the way I look. This
completely.
Isn't, yeah. I mean, and really we should work out. We should exercise because we love ourselves. It should be a form of, that's real self-care.
Yeah.
Not shaming yourself because you got a couple extra pounds. I've been there. I'm done with that. I'm done with it. Right. But again, to your point, striving for health, man, like that right there, having that perspective is so important.
That's beautiful. I hope that you can stay and I can stay in that mindset for a while.
Me too.
Because if we can be real, have some real talk with everybody who's listening, and mm-hmm. this is maybe one of those moments, right? Everyone who's listening, please ponder this. Because it's just like there's seasons for the grind, for the hustle. You know, because while we're not going to worship that, there's also seasons they just come around to where things can get really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and while you're striving for health, you know, it's like the mindset in that is like, yeah, we're going to stay disciplined. We're going to stay consistent. There's still things in life that just happen. You know, and, you know, I think it's Tony Robbins that says, right, life is happening for you, not to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that to a certain extent, you know, because in going through what I have gone through with my dad, you know, passing when I was 16, it's like, sure, you could pull out all the good things, and I'm grateful for that. You know, like the accelerated emotional maturity. There's certain mm-hmm. things that fortified things in my character and my value system in a very positive way. Still, at the same time, I lost my freaking dad, dude.
Straight up, bro.
You know, and it's like, that's not something that I ever looked at as happening for me. You know, mm-hmm. he had leukemia, something that he didn't cause. It was a genetic thing. It's a chromosome flip at conception is the kind that he had.
Wow.
Yeah, and it didn't, that kind like stays dormant until your mid-40s, which is when it attacked him. And so you look at that, it's like there is stuff that's going to hit you that you will never expect, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, you can control everything, right, around you. It's all up to you. And it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, how much of that is, and this is coming back to like that unhealthy space. And it's the same scenario as I'm getting at, like worshiping the hustle, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like worshiping your own ego in that mm-hmm. case. Fitness can be worshiping your own ego. Negative talk, negative self-talk is at its core an ego problem
mm-hmm.
because it's completely focusing on you
mm-hmm.
and what your problems are. Just like, you know, if you're saying, oh, I can control all this stuff, you know, I created this. Well, some things probably not. It just actually happened to you, maybe not for you. There's a difference on what you can do with it afterwards. Absolutely.
Southwest Florida is one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. For those of you that are thinking of moving from other states to come to Florida, or even just moving to a different part of the state, I want you to think of a big, beautiful luxury home. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. They are a family-owned and operated luxury residential construction company. As a family-owned business, they believe in the power of building not just homes, but legacies. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. The nightmare of feeling like you'll never measure up, of constant second guessing and self-doubt. It eats away at you and destroys your confidence. I've been there too, feeling like I didn't belong on the field with my teammates, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I used to compare myself to everyone around me. I thought that no matter how hard I worked, I'd never be as good as the other guys. It killed my self-belief. I now help athletes develop an elite mindset so comparison no longer controls them. We teach techniques to cut out the negative self-talk and unlock their full potential. Imagine stepping into the box when it counts the most and feeling totally confident in your ability, feeling invincible instead of insecure, ready to seize the opportunity instead of shrinking from it. That's the mindset I help athletes develop. Don't waste another minute on comparison and self-doubt. Take control of your mindset and become the confident, unstoppable competitor you were meant to be. DM or comment below to get started with Edge and transform your mental game. Yeah. You know, I agree with that, Rick, and it's a very unpopular take. It is, I mean, like, you know, we've been in rooms, man. We know how it is. We go out there and say that, and people are going to look at us like, oh, you're out of alignment.
Yeah.
you are, it's dis-ease. Break down the word disease, dis-ease. You're out of ease. You are out of alignment. It's like, save it.
I think I'm save more at peace, bro, the way that we're thinking.
Yeah, I'm like, I exactly. Yeah. I mean, for me, and to your point, like, I hope I stay in this mindset for as long as possible, right? Because I want to be healthy. I want to know that I'm good, but I also don't want to spoon feed myself a bunch of bullshit, Rick. Yeah. I really don't, man. You know, to your point, like, your dad passing away, it didn't happen for you. I mean, that's an unfortunate event.
Yeah.
Me not knowing my biological father because he left when I see that didn't happen for me. Now, you know, was he a great guy? I don't know. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying he's bad, you know, not at all.
Yeah.
Right. But like the bottom line is that hurt, you know, I had issues growing up because of that and insecurities and abandonment issues. Right. Yeah. Like that didn't happen for me, you know? And so like, I just wish that people could understand the difference. Like, because of this, something great will happen. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know the answer, man. All I know is I'm going to try to control what I can every day.
Yeah, you got it. Well, that comes back to being all in. Doing all everything in, that you actually can do. You know, and I'm not one that I like the word can, because can is a word of possibilities. Right? I don't like its opposite. I don't like the word can't. I rarely will ever use the word can't.
Yeah.
Unless it's something that's might be physically limiting, right? Like,
yeah,
I can't be as good of a ball player as Michael Jordan.
No,
I don't have the genetics, right? It's just not there.
Yeah.
But most of the stuff in life, that word can't doesn't necessarily apply.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, and this is on another canvas that's here too. It's like, it's really, you should say, I don't, or I won't.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm not willing to, right?
Exactly. Yep. So when you're talking about controlling what you can, right? There's some things, as we're talking, that you absolutely cannot control, period. Yeah, and that word applies to there. But the other things you don't or you won't for specific reasons. And when you have that awareness, it starts to empower you even more. And then you can actually stop worshiping the grind. Then you can stop looking at yourself, you know, with an ego problem, because you're actually taking control of your own mindset and your own direction in life.
You know, it's interesting, because I'm sitting here listening and I'm thinking about just, you know, I cut my teeth in outside sales, right? You know, selling payroll for paychecks way back in the day. And there was a difference when I was doing really, really well and when I really wasn't. When, let's say, I had a really big January, because that's the month, man. Everybody switches payroll in January. It's easy.
Well, yeah. Right?
No wages.
941s. Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Like, none of that stuff. No RTC. Yeah. Like nothing. Just like, hey, voided check, and you got your you know, W-4s, you know, you know, direct deposit info, everything. It's super simple. It's cut and dry. But then everybody tells yourself, like, well, February is going to be slow. Well, is February really slow? Or did I back off of it because I was tired, right? And so what we have to look at is when things are not happening in our career, in sales or whatever, is it really an external problem, or is it something that we can control? You know, because I look at it and I go, well, if I go out there and I make 15 sales calls a day, that's compounded interest.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to sell more than anybody. And that's the way it was back in the day when I was with paychecks, because I just wouldn't stop. I would do more from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. before I went and got my kids than anybody could do in a 9-hour day. And I was out, right? Yeah. I hustled in that time frame, but then I was out, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so like to me, it's more of like to ponder, for those of you listening, pondering what you think you can't do. Is it, can you not do it? Or is it, you're not willing to pay the price to do it? And I'm not talking about hustle culture. I'm just talking about there's certain tasks that you have to do on an everyday basis.
Oh, it's the effort. It comes back to being all in, right? If you have that 100% to give today and you gave 50%, you know, that's not all in, dude. That's lazy.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, lazy. That's that won't or don't that I'm talking about, because you absolutely could have done more on that day. You absolutely could have done more in that month, as you're talking about. I love sales, dude. I love that talking about it. Yeah. Because there's so much that's controllable on the part of the rep side, you know, versus the actual prospect. And that's when we, you know, because it's easy to dish off, but then it's like victimhood becomes a problem of ego, you know, because it's like, oh no, you know, but it was them. They didn't call me back, you know, and it's like, you know, they decided to put this on hold for another 3 months. Or like you're saying, you know, it's February, you know, they're not going to want to, they start to come up with all these reasons, right? Why it could never happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but then that translates into actions and behaviors. So, okay, well, you know, even though I've got the time, I could make another 100 dials today, but I'm not going to, because I think that they're just not going to answer. They're not going to go for it because it's February and you're trying to sell payroll. You know, it's these self-limiting beliefs, and self-limiting beliefs, what does it come back to, dude? It's ego.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the ego wants what it wants when it wants it, man.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny, 'cause you're talking about that, you know, not making the 100 extra dials. It's also selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's think about this, right? So those of you listening, if you know you have certain things that you need to do, you need to make 25 dials. I don't care if it's 10 dials and you make 9. It's selfish because you're worried about you, right? And that 10th call, you could have changed someone's life. Could have changed someone's business. You owe it. You owe it to the universe to make that call.
Yep.
Because you don't know where you're going to end up. Like, dude, I don't know where I'm going to end up daily. And to be quite honest with you, I have a plan. Of course I have a plan. You know, but then, you know, it wasn't a part of my plan for C-Rock and Todd to reach out to me like after a year, and here you are.
Yeah.
I have this great connection with you. Like, you, if you don't put yourself in the arena, then you don't, your network doesn't grow.
Yeah, right.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, that constant, it's the inertia, right? You have to keep going, even if it's a little bit, even if it's a little bit, like we said, that's going all in.
And I think this is like a bookend. Where do we go from here?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. It's like, you know, when you have such concise conversation and you give so much value in such a quick period of time, it's like, where do you go?
Like, it's really funny. You're like, if I have a mic hog, and I'm thinking in my head, it's like, man, I tend to talk a lot, but
you're not, dude.
It's a different vibe in our energy because it's a complete two-way conversation and everything between that we've said. And I think there's a, you know, if you're listening, go back and like take some sound bites out of this because Sean, I don't know if you do this. I didn't look at if you cut things into chapters or not, but this has been such a flow of a conversation, you know, and it's almost like stepping through, I think, what those might need to look at for this coming year. Everybody's listening. Yeah. It's like, this is like a checkpoint.
It should be.
Conversation is. Yeah. Did I just give you the title for this show? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, we could talk about that offline. What are we going to name it? Right. But you know, here's the thing, dude, like when we talk about the flow of conversation, how we want things to go, you know, I want to take the time because you're right. Where do we go from here? But I think what would be great is to kind of talk about maybe some high performance habits that have helped you that, you know, scheduling your day. So that way, when you wake up in the morning, you can go out there and impact your day, because the biggest problem, a lot of people don't do. Not because they don't want to, not because they don't know how, not because they're not driven or motivated. It's because they failed the plan. Yeah. And if you, piss poor preparation prevents problems, bro.
Yeah, right on.
Period.
Yep.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. You know what I mean? You just went public. Again, congratulations. Like, dude, there's a lot of big habits, like really good habits that you displayed on a daily basis for you. And infused into your culture in order to get there, right? Let's break it down for the listeners right now. What can they do to start implementing good habits into their day so they feel more prepared?
Yeah, for sure. There's some of it's what we talked about a little bit, but if you know, we started out the conversation, you know, and I think you asked what my story was, and I don't even think we got there. But okay, I've got an 8-minute origin story about myself on my website. You can go watch that short film.
Yeah, link will be in the bio.
Yeah, right on. getting to that point, because you reference self-made, right? And how I did this and I didn't take in any outside money to get to this point. You know, the first dollars that I actually took in was through a Regulation A public offering. And for those who don't know, a Reg A is, if you want to look at it, it's like a micro IPO. It's a method where a private company can sell shares to the public under SEC guidelines. So it's something that was put back in place by President Obama, and then some restrictions were removed by President Trump. It like opened up the floodgates for this kind of program. It's pretty cool as far as conceptually. Right? Prior to that, you're right, there was nothing that I took in from investors to get to the point to where it was even the first acquisition we did completely with debt without any investors on the outside.
Wow.
You know, and even though I tried to get investors on board for that, because I mean, first acquisition, it's not like go big or go home, right? For me, that's what it was. It was the $6.6 million acquisition, you know, and it was actually bigger than the revenue that we were doing. By a bit at that current point in time. When I couldn't get investors on, you know, and we're talking about what does that mean for everybody else? And it's like, you needed the proof of concept first. Will this actually work? And that's one thing that I discovered. But in the process of doing that and getting people, it's like, I could have looked around and with the team that's in, it's like, where do we go, Rick? What do we do? You know, because I'm like, whatever, we'll fucking do it ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's figure it out.
Exactly. That was a decision point for me. It's like, I'm not going to stop. You know, it might look different than what I thought it was going to look like. You know, and that's okay. So it's not like I didn't entertain the outside, you know, to try to bring some cash in, but it was to grow, right? It was to put towards an asset. I'm using cash to buy assets that produce more cash. It's a simple concept, you know, and at least I thought I was very articulate. I've been using that phrase forever, but still like, well, I don't know, you know, but it's like an analogy where it's almost like the plane is sitting there on the tarmac, right? Brand new prototype. And you finally get the engines attached, but, you know, people are still looking around. It's like, oh, but wait a second. You know, look at that. They still don't have the roof on. You know, that thing's never going to fly. You know, or, you know, the flaps, you know, it looks like they're having some issues with the flaps. That thing's never going to be able to stay level. You know, and they'll keep saying this. As you keep building that plane, you know, people are going to onlook and tell you it's like, it's never going to fly. I can't express enough how much I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how many people say, I would want your project, you know, all of the negativity surrounding it. And it comes back to what you said earlier on is that it's the fear. You know, I wasn't letting fear stop me because I believe if you're allowing fear to stop you, there's no way you're all in. You're holding back, you know, even if it's at 80%, you might be given like 37% that day because fear has now taken up the remaining half of what you were able to do that day. It set up shop in that other part of your energy and efforts today. You know, fear, loathing, self-doubt, they're all in the same category as far as that goes. But as long as you continue to move forward and you're talking about disciplines, that was your basic question. What I do to help me move forward is to place things in front of me. So people are like, you know, push harder, push harder. What helps me out a ton, a discipline for me, is to put something out in front of me in a timeline, something that's scheduled, that's a commitment. And it's not just to myself, it's to a bunch of other people to where if we don't make that, it's not even just a reputation thing. It just, it has real life consequences.
Mm.
So instead of trying to push myself forward step by step, I've put something in front of me that will pull me forward into that moment. So when it came to all of this, it's like, well, whatever. If I find an acquisition, if I get my first acquisition, I don't have the money yet lined up. But if I get an acquisition under LOI, someone agrees to it, we're just going to keep moving forward. And then it's like all of a sudden my actions, my behaviors start to catch up.
Yep.
Because this one event, like this closing, this one event is actually pulling me towards it. And now you're able to think clearer. These are the disciplines, right? Putting that thing in front of you so it pulls you. You're able to think clearer about what you need to do every single day in order to make that the reality that you're going after. Because it's almost like forming already. Don't put things in life to push you forward. Put things ahead of you in life to pull you forward.
I always believe you should be running towards something.
Yeah.
Right? There should be nothing behind you that you're running from or pushing you. Agreed. Because that becomes despair. That becomes, you become desperate, right?
Forced. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy. It's the one thing that I loved about what you're talking about, put something in front of me. You talked about not and I want the audience to really, here's your warning. Literally dial in on this. Write this down and rewind it and listen to it again. When you were talking about putting something in front of you, it wasn't a personal goal.
No.
It was other people. When you put others in front of you, when you put others at the like the very horizon of where you're going, you're always going to be driven to get there and to get better because you want to help others. You want others' lives to be better. Yeah. Do you benefit from it? Absolutely. We all do. But the bottom line is if we lead with, you know, our selfishness, it doesn't really work. Right. But if we lead with other people,
yeah,
that's the secret.
That's where it always has to be. And then you'll get to the point. Right? It sure is, because especially with that self-talk, you know, it's like even as you finally build that plane and all the pieces are in place, they're still saying, you know, even when it's like lined up on the runway, ready for its maiden flight, like, oh, that's still never going to fly.
Yeah.
Even after you take off, dude, even after you're like 5,000 feet in the air because you're still ascending, like, you know what? I think that flap's still going to fall off. Something's going to happen.
Yep.
It's never until you're at cruising altitude to where the like it's a complete reversal of what it's like. Oh yeah, I always believed in you.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's so funny, man. Because you gave that analogy about the plane, the flap, the, you know, top of the roof of the plane. Like, I feel like I've been told that.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, just like you, like, it's not going to work, man. Hey, Sean, it's not going to work. You know, you're not on brand with us. We're going to go with some, we need to go somebody else that has a bit more of a following and engagement. I'm like, have you paid attention? Like, what are we talking about here? And it's personal, right? It's personal. But at the same time, it's like, I take those moments and I say, okay, you're not believing in me. You don't think my plane's going to fly. Yeah. I'm already flying. You don't even understand it, right? Because you don't know where I'm going. So you don't know where I'm at in my progression. Like, I feel like I'm at that 5,000 foot right now,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm right there and I'm shaky and people are watching. Some bitch is going to fall out of the sky.
Yep.
They're going to be watching a very long time.
Yeah, you got it.
Because there's too many lives to impact. Way too many lives, way too many entrepreneurs to help, way too many athletes to help, way too many conversations like this to be had that shed light into the world. No, we're not coming down, but I get it, man. That analogy you made, like I feel it, you know, and it's so funny because you look back over your progression of what you've built. It's like people think that, you know, okay, you're public now. The struggle's over. No. Tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to say, what now?
Yeah.
What now? What now? And then there's a new finish line. There's a new wall to break through, right? And that's a great thing to have. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want to get stale. You don't want to get stagnant. But it's something, you know, we're always looking to soup that plane up a little bit,
yeah, we are.
Right? To fly further and fly higher. And I just don't, you know, it's crazy, man. And for those that aren't into taking risks and aren't into entrepreneurship, they look at us like we've got three heads.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's because we'll take the plane, you know, and it's not completely finished, but we'll try the prototype flight before everything's even on it.
That's so funny you say that. It's so funny you say that. I've said this 1,000 times and like, I think people miss it, but I started my podcast on an iPhone in my SUV talking like this.
Nice.
And I finally figured out, oh, if I hit do not disturb, my wife can't get through when I'm trying to do show notes or I'm trying to record.
Yep.
It's like, and I thought I was like super important. Hey, I'm doing a podcast. I'm like, stop calling me. And I'm like in my car, like an idiot, right?
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's so funny, like that right there. Like everybody looked at that plane, like that thing ain't gonna take off.
Yeah.
And then it was a goofy sign in the background. Then it was this, and then it's like we're working on getting an actual studio out of the house to where I can actually have people like you come in and do an in-person.
Oh, I love
completely
it.
Different energy. We're going to have to do that.
Dude, I'm in. Yeah.
You know, but like that I'm right there, dude, like
too. And you can sit.
I'll come up there. Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to come up there. But yeah, in the summer, please.
Yeah,
summer.
Absolutely.
We'll do it this summer. I'll come up there this please, summer. Yeah. We'll hang out and we'll record, you know, and you know, we'll do a fun collaboration, but, yeah, you ain't getting me up there in the cold, bro.
No way. Don't. I'll come down by you during these months.
Oh, man. Well, look, dude, you know, while we're talking about planes, let's land it. Okay. Yep. Because I think we've given the audience some amazing value today, but in finishing up, what would be the one piece of advice that you would give them right now if they're struggling believing in themselves?
Wow. Yeah. Put those things in front of you to pull you. Because it's when you create that, it's a mental thing because it puts you, people talk about visualization all the time. You know, this is probably one of the best tools because sometimes it's like I can think of individual things that I want, right? But when I sit down and I close my eyes and I can see myself in the middle, this is how I know it's like right for me too. If I can see myself in the middle of that scenario, you know, if I will close my eyes in that, I won't put it up on a board or anything, but if I, you know, like if it's going public as an example, right? If I can see myself, which is what I did, because I knew it wasn't NASDAQ right away, ringing the bell. Everybody thinks there's like streamers and everything right away. No, for us, it's OTC first, and then we'll uplist.
Yeah.
You know, that's the intention. And I'm sitting there. It's like, okay, well, I can see like the stock graph, you know, and that's what I'm like, all right, this is for me. You know, so then I started putting those things in front of me and committing myself to it. So then it wasn't even a matter of whether I believed in myself or not. It's just because I put those things in front of me. It's like, well, that's my desired end state. I have no choice but to get there.
Exactly.
Depending on whatever day I have, it's a good day, bad day, doesn't matter. I'm still going to get there.
Man, it's so funny because I'll give you this and then we'll tell everybody where they can find you. is I can already see vividly who I'm interviewing, where I'm at.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a professional athlete, a former athlete, an entrepreneur. I see it. I already see it. I already know where I'm going. Right. And if you can be clear on that, everybody listening, then you're going to be all right.
Yeah. Right on.
If you doubt yourself for 1 second, like you're the one person, you're the only person that is going to believe in you 110%. You got to stay on your own side. You can't allow somebody else's limiting beliefs be bestowed upon you for you to question you, right? Know where you're going. Be clear on that. And you will start to make moves and decisions that support that end game, right? So, dude, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
I'm touched by this interview. Like, this has been a really cool conversation, dude. Like, really cool.
I love it.
You know? So where can, I'm going to link everything to you, but why don't you tell the audience where they can find you on social media and all that good stuff.
Instagram, I'm most active on at Mr. Rick Jordan. And other than that, website, rickjordan.tv, but Instagram first and foremost. I'm still on my DMs personally all the time.
Yeah, me too. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to go on there and hit you up, man.
Yeah, please.
Absolutely. We'll connect there and a lot of fun things left. But dude, just thank you again, man. Have a wonderful rest of your Friday. Great weekend. And be safe driving home in that snow, please.
Oh, thanks. Yep, for sure.
All right, my guy. Hey, guys, until next time, stay determined and share this show with everybody you know. All right? Don't be afraid to go there and leave a written review and tell us exactly what you loved about this story, about this episode. We appreciate you, and we'll see you soon. Southwest Florida is one of the most beautiful places on the planet to live. For those of you that are thinking of moving from other states to come to Florida, or even just moving to a different part of the state, I want you to think of a big, beautiful, luxury home. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. They are a family-owned and operated luxury residential construction company. As a family-owned business, they believe in the power of building not just homes, but legacies. Contact Legacy Luxury Builders. The nightmare of feeling like you'll never measure up, of constant second guessing and self-doubt. It eats away at you and destroys your confidence. I've been there too, feeling like I didn't belong on the field with my teammates, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I used to compare myself to everyone around me. I thought that no matter how hard I worked, I'd never be as good as the other guys. It killed my self-belief. I now help athletes develop an elite mindset so comparison no longer controls them. We teach techniques to cut out the negative self-talk and unlock their full potential. Imagine stepping into the box when it counts the most and feeling totally confident in your ability, feeling invincible instead of insecure, ready to seize the opportunity instead of shrinking from it. That's the mindset I help athletes develop. Don't waste another minute on comparison and self-doubt. Take control of your mindset and become the confident, unstoppable competitor you are meant to be. DM or comment below to get started with Edge and transform your mental game.